Amen. Well, good morning. I want to say a special word of welcome to those of you who fought through the winter wonderland here in North Carolina to join us here today. It's kind of fun to have a slumber party, all of us together in one service. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're new here, whether you're in person or online, we're so delighted that you're joining us here. Week two of the new year. What we're all about as a church is really straightforward. It's pretty simple. It's all about connecting people to God, connecting people to each other. So together we can engage our world for good. We hope you experience a little bit of all those things here this morning. Before we jump into what we're talking about, just a quick touch again on this new thing we're doing in a couple weeks. We talked about the baptism that we're doing here on the 26th. We love baptisms. If you or your child wants to get baptized, we'd love, love, love to do that together. So please let us know about that. But we're doing a new thing on the 26th, which is this. For many of your stories, what happened is you walked away from faith, ran away from faith, drifted away from faith or church. It wasn't that important to you. And then something happened, like some sort of an awakening where faith went from wallpaper in the background to something that was actually much more front and center, much more a part of your life. And you've already been baptized. Maybe you don't want to get baptized again, but it would be nice to mark that somehow. And so on the 26th, we're going to do this thing called Affirmation of Faith, where we're going to invite you right after the baptism to get up front and say, yes, I have come to a new place in my walk where my faith is integrated in my life in a new way, and I want to celebrate that. If you'd like to be a part of this new thing we're doing on the 26th, just affirming, celebrating that God's doing a new thing in your life, as most likely as an adult, then reach out to me, RSVP at chathamchurch.org. Love, love, love to have you be a part of that new celebration. This is week two of our series called Change the Atmosphere. We've all been in places, like groups of people, where it was just funky. There was just something kind of wrong or off. Like the dynamics weren't working. They weren't healthy. Maybe it was a strong personality that kind of overran everybody, or maybe there was sort of dysfunction in how people were talking. There wasn't much trust in the room. Maybe it was your family of origin or extended family, maybe a workplace that was dysfunctional, maybe a school environment or a team that was just broken. And sometimes you can tell what's wrong or what's going on. Sometimes you can't really tell what's going on. Scriptures say that we're made in God's image. And the word for that is icons. That's the Greek word icon, like an icon on your phone. Like you tap on an icon on your phone and something springs forth. Like when you and I get tapped on, what's supposed to come out of us is something of God. We talked about it this way last week. That you are made in God's image to do this because you're here to release something of God's goodness on earth. That whenever you get tapped on, something of God's goodness is supposed to come out into the world to replace dysfunction with blessing, hope, wisdom, truth, love, grace, mercy, justice, in order to change the dysfunctional atmosphere for the good. What we're talking about in the course of this series is the really good news that you are such an icon. You're such an icon. And what does it mean for you to tap into all of God's resources, all his grace, all his truth, all his mercy, all his love for you, and to be a conduit or a channel of God's stuff and to bring that into this broken and weary world to change the atmosphere. Now, one of the things that we have to sort of wrestle with is this, that as much as we would love to say a dysfunctional environment is someone else's fault, sometimes it's yours, amen? Like, there have been some days where I had a bad day at work, and I brought it home with me, and my house that was joyous before I got there was no longer joyous. There are times when maybe you said the thing that you're frustrated with or the person you're frustrated with, and you talked about it to everybody else but the person you should have been talking to. Times when you had an opinion, maybe lots of opinions. Maybe you have lots of opinions about lots of things, and you know you're not right all the time, but you're pretty much right most of the time. So everyone needs to know all your opinions about all the things. Or maybe you were quiet when you should have spoken up, when someone needed you. Sometimes, the work that needs to happen is in us. Because here's the thing. You are made to change the atmosphere. You're made in God's image to change the atmosphere. You're going to do it. It's just a question of what kind of energy you bring to it. You're going to change the atmosphere one way or the other. It's just a question of what kind of resources, what kind of energy, what kind of strength, what are you bringing to the place, and how are you impacting the atmosphere? From the beginning, here's what Scripture says you and I are made to do. From the very beginning, the Scriptures say that you and I were made for blessing, to be a conduit of blessing. And we're going to go back to the very beginning to look at how the scripture sets us up. So let's go back to the very beginning of the Bible. This is page one of the Bible. God creates all the things. And here's where we get this sort of image-bearing kind of thing from. Here's Genesis 1, the very end of God, the creation account. It says this: God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created all of them. So here's the thing, here's the backdrop. In the context, when the author of Genesis is writing, here's what ancient people did. They would build these temples to their gods, right? And they'd work and work and work and build these temples. And the last thing that they put in the temple was an image of the god, an icon of the god. So the creation account is taking this whole idea of human beings building a temple and then putting an image of that god and then saying, you know what? Humans aren't building this temple. God's building the temple. It's called the earth. God creates this whole thing. The whole earth is a temple. It's not a temple built by human hands. It's a temple built by God himself. And what's the last thing that God puts in his own temple? Icons. Images of himself. You and me, human beings. To sort of crown this place with his presence, with things that look just like him. So you see, from page one in the Bible to the last page of the Bible, what the scripture is saying to the whole world, a broken world, saying, listen, 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 you're living out of a broken story. There's a better story, a truer reality. There's a temple, but it's not built by human hands. It's made by God. And there are images of the God out there, but it's not a stone or wood, it's not money, it's not career, it's not people liking you, it's actually human beings made in his image. So in that creation account, the first accounts of kind of God's activity in the world, you know what it says? You know what God's very first word to these image bearers? You know what God's very first word, very first interaction recorded in the Bible between God and human beings? You know how it's described? This is Genesis 1, you know what it says? It says that God blessed them and said, hey, I got really good news for you. God's first word to all of humanity and to you is blessing. God's word is blessing. He leads with blessing. It's like what he wants to do. What God longs to do over all the creation and over you and every day of your life is he longs to lead and pour out blessing and blessing and blessing over you in your life, even if your life right now is a hot mess, bless your heart. Even if right now things are really, really hard, God longs to pour out blessing. That's why he created human beings. It's what he leads with. It's God is love, and he leads with blessing in love. It's how he wants to relate to his people. Now, shortly after the creation account, we get the story of sin entering the picture, right? So sin entering the picture. And one of the ways that you can understand sin is, well, if you're made as an icon of God to release something of God's goodness into the world, what sin means is sin means we're a corrupted icon. You're a corrupted icon. It means that tap on you and tap on me, and maybe something of God comes out, and maybe not so much, right? Maybe actually, instead of blessing you, maybe I curse you. And cursing can take all kinds of forms, right? I mean, literally cursing, but sometimes cursing is just speaking words of harsh judgment, sort of shame, guilt, kind of piling on. Some of us have been cursed or cursed others by not speaking at all when someone needed us to come alongside them and encourage them and help them out. Sometimes people curse each other by actively working against other people's happiness. Sometimes people curse one another by sort of speaking out in the ways that are inappropriate or not helpful. We online trolling has taken cursing to a whole new level, right? Humans have been really creative in finding ways to curse each other. Just how we are. That's what sin does to us. See, here's the thing. You were made as in God's image to be a conduit for a blessing to flow through you. But because of sin, we open ourselves instead to spirits of darkness, and cursing flows through us rather than blessing. And Jesus said that those spirits of darkness have only come to steal, kill, and destroy. So anytime cursing flows through an image bearer, it's the inappropriate use of the power and authority God's given us to bless each other. Now instead, people heap curses on each other by how they treat each other and how they speak to one another. So here's what God has to do on the other side of sin hijacking image bearers, right? On the other side of sin hijacking image bearers, he has to correct. He has to course correct, right? So you get throughout the scripture, you get sort of the commandments and the directions from God, right? Like throughout the scripture, there's a whole bunch of no's, right? Like, don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't cheat. Don't murder. Like all these things that God says not to do. So here's how to understand that all those no's in the Bible. And some of you grew up in religious contexts where it's all about don't do this and don't do that. And that was all that was talked about was all the things God said not to do. Here's the good news. Every time God says no in the Bible or in your experience, it's always there to serve his larger yes of blessing. God says no to murder is a yes to life, right? God says no to lying as a yes to truth, healthy relationships. No to adultery, yes to marriage. No to worshiping false gods that you might know the real God. God desires to bless all people. Sin has corrupted us, and we're not always sure where blessing stands, what blessing looks like. And so God says, I'm going to put some firewalls. I'm going to steer you so that you might know and experience my blessing. This is what I want to pour out on you. So God says no in the scriptures and sometimes in our life experience. And not every no we get in life is from God, right? Some experiences of no are fallen people, broken people doing terrible things to us, right? But anytime God redirects your steps, it's always there to serve his larger yes. So I want to bring all this together. God creates us in his image. His first word over human beings is blessing and yes. We sin and kind of chase after the wrong thing sometimes. So occasionally God redirects us and corrects us. But here's where we're going today. And here's the good news. And here's what it means to be someone made in God's image who actually lives out according how God designed us. You are the most like the God who created you. And you are the God you created you to be when you're an instrument of blessing. You are the most like the God who created you. And you're the most like the you God created you to be. When you open yourself up to be a channel of blessing, we're talking about that blessing in two concrete ways. One is through prayers that they may or may not hear, that you're kind of people you're interacting with, and through words that they can hear, receive, and rejoice in. When this becomes our vocation, when we're people who are practicing blessing, this is us becoming who God made us to be. In prayer, let's talk about prayer first, right? Prayer is just bringing people before God and saying, God, would you just rain down favor and blessing and kind of goodness upon them? We were talking about this in my small group this past week. And one guy was talking about him in the car in traffic. Now, you know what comes out of your mouth in traffic, don't you? But he was talking about him in the car in traffic. And a practice that he had adopted was anytime someone did something pleasant or nice to him, he blessed them. Isn't that a great gift? Wouldn't it change the atmosphere in your heart and in your car if you blessed more than you cursed? Some of you need to take that to heart. So his practice was, I'm going to be deliberate and intentional about blessing this person who's never going to hear that blessing, right? But it's changing his heart, changing the atmosphere in his car. And of course, like all prayer, we just trust that God's at work, hearing it, and working out blessing in that person's life. My friends, you can pray blessing over your office place, over your school, over your neighborhood. What if you just made a practice, every time you pull into your neighborhood or your community, you just prayed over the houses. You don't know who lives there. You might not know people's names. You're just praying blessing and favor over those people who may or may not ever know or hear you're praying those blessings over them. But that's you taking up your work, your vocation as someone made in God's image, just praying blessing over them. Jesus even tells us to pray blessings over our enemies. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But there's a good work that we're invited to do to pray blessings over the people around us, even if they may not ever hear it or know it. And that's part of how God changes the atmosphere. And then, of course, blessings through words, right? Words that can be heard, received, like heard and responded to. That's words of affirmation, encouragement, love, praise, celebration. But it's also your no serving the yes, right? It's speaking words of blessing and favor. My first couple years out of college, I did a college student ministry, and I was terrible at it my first couple years, and I was struggling so much, and I had a great, great boss. And one time when I was in a pit of despair and frustration and the ministry wasn't going well and things were falling apart, she said to me directly as I was struggling with, where's God and I'm so terrible at this and all the things, she just looked at me and said, Alex, God brought you here to bless you. God brought you here to bless you. She just spoke that affirmation over me and it's kind of reset everything. I hope and pray you've had people speak words of truth, affirmation, comfort. Hey, you're good at this. Hey, you've got a gift here. Hey, let me invite you in. Hey, I see something in you. Boss, managers, teachers, friends, family, I hope and pray you've had someone who's spoken words of affirmation over you. But then, of course, sometimes blessing takes on that no that serves the larger yes, right? Sometimes that blessing says no to the dysfunctional person in the room. Sometimes that the words need to be a hard conversation, putting boundaries up around someone. Let's say you've got an addict in your family. You're like, hey, you're not deciding who comes together, where or how we get together for Christmas or Thanksgiving because you're not a safe person, you're not a healthy person. I know you don't like that, but I'm putting a boundary around that. I'm saying no, that serves a larger yes. Sometimes our spoken words have to have a no to them that serves a larger yes. That includes putting boundaries around sin, brokenness, toxicity, so that you, your family, your kids, so that the world might know a little bit more of God's larger yes. So anytime we are being instruments of blessing, you are the most like the God who created you, and you're the most like you that God created you to be when you are being an instrument of blessing. That includes prayers of blessing that they may or may not ever hear, and words that they can hear, receive, and rejoicing. Now, here's one of the challenges. One of the challenges of being disintegrated icons, right? Disintegration, right? That means we're not integrated. It means we don't always operate consistently in all the realms of our lives. One of the things that happens is people can say the right things and do terrible things at the same time, right? This happens especially in religious contexts. How many of you have known a religious person that said all the right things about people but treated them terribly outside of church? Any of you known someone who said all the right things, but they lived lives as if they were a curse to the people around them? Bless their hearts. So here's the thing. We can't just talk about praying blessing. We can't just talk about speaking blessing without talking about living lives that are blessing. Listen, you only have integrity when blessings prayed and blessings spoken lead us to becoming the blessing that we want to become, that we're praying for them, to living lives that are expressing God's blessing over the people. And so there's a call here that we pray blessing over friends, family, neighbors, even hard things. We speak words of truth and love and affirmation and celebration and blessing, but then we ourselves are aligning ourselves with God's yes over those people, whatever way, shape, or form that looks like. We have to actually be consistent with, hey, I'm praying blessing for you, I'm hoping blessing for you, and I'm for good for you, and then I'm coming alongside you in ways that match pitch, that aren't dissonant or kind of disintegrated from the words that I'm saying on Sunday morning or in my life. So this is how God created us. What he created us to do is who he created us to be. All this sets the stage for the passage that Raquel read for us from Numbers chapter 6. So let's talk a little about the context of Numbers chapter 6. By the time you get to Numbers chapter 6, when the first few books of the Bible, the people of Israel had been enslaved in Egypt for a couple hundred years. God has set them free through Moses, and they're walking through the desert for many, many years before they get to the promised land. But they've never been a nation before. They were just a big family when they went to Egypt. Hundreds of years later, they're basically a nation. They have no government. They have no structure. They have no way to operate. So as they're wandering in the desert, God's giving Moses direction. Here's how to set up shop. Here's how to set up a nation. Here's laws and rules so that you guys can, like, get along and manage the complexities of being a nation together. And God creates sort of the priestly office, right? So the priests are established. It's going to be Moses' brother Aaron and his sons. And the priests had two jobs, right? The priest's job, number one, was to represent the people up to God. That's sacrifices. That's praying on behalf of the people. God, would you forgive us our sins? God, would you deliver us from our enemies, right? Representing the people up to God. And then job number two was representing God down to the people, opening the scriptures, teaching them what's true, telling them who God is and who God says they are. What does it mean to live out of the identity as God's people, as a nation together? So the priests have two jobs. So here's the thing. When you get to Numbers chapter 6, if the priest's job is to tell the people something about God, to represent God to the people, what else is God going to put in the mouths of his priests than blessing? That's what he did in Genesis 1. His first word over all people was blessing. And so when he says to the priest, I want you to speak these exact words over them, he says, here's the word you're supposed to speak. It's supposed to be a word of blessing. Let's read that again in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, those priests, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they'll put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless all of them. Have you ever been in a situation where someone you loved or you were close to, was making a series of bad decisions. And you watch them make these series of bad decisions. And it can be very heartbreaking, especially if you love that person, as you watch them make clearly bad decisions. But it can also be really easy to get frustrated with them. Amen? Like, and you can start to get a little bit like judgy and condemning in your heart. And it can be easy to kind of like sit back and be like, they're doing all these things wrong. It can be really frustrating. So as you pick up in Numbers chapter 6, again, the people of Israel, they're wandering in the desert and all that kind of thing. And by Numbers chapter 6, they have already complained a lot. Complained against Moses, complained against God. Why'd you get us out of Egypt? We want to go back to slavery in Egypt. At least we had food there, right? They're complaining. In the midst of all that complaining, here's what would have been really easy for the religious guys to do. Judge the people. Condemn them. Right? You guys got it all wrong. You keep messing up. Stop it. Quit it. Now, here's the thing. The people of Israel are going to need lots of correction, right? They're going to need lots of God's no that serve the larger yes, just like you and I need correction as well. We're going to need God's no to serve the larger yes. But here's what God does not want the priests to do. God does not want the priests to turn into self-righteous religious people. Amen? Us religious people, it's so easy to get self-righteous, isn't it? I don't want you to turn into self-righteous religious people, even when the people are being stupid. Even when the nation is being foolish. So here's what I want you to do. Every single day, I want you to bless them, not curse them. Every single day. Even if they're doing something stupid. Even if they're being foolish. Even if they don't want God's blessing. Even if they're rebelling against God. Pushing God away. Ignoring God. Freaking out. God says to the priests, I want you to speak my word of blessing over them. And this beautiful phrase, right? The Lord bless you and keep you. Notice that throughout this whole blessing, the you is totally passive. God is the only one acting here, right? We are just the recipients of God's favor, God's blessing, right? So the Lord, he's close, he's proximate, he's active in your life, he's drawing near to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Then it says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Have you ever seen a parent with a newborn baby? Look at that baby and their face just lights up. The parent's face just lights up. That's the Father's face over you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I'm reading a book right now on sort of discipleship. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean for us to be disciples of Jesus? And this guy's argument is you were born hardwired to look for a face of joy over you. Like babies were born to look for that face shining over them. And you're neurologically wired up for this. And his argument is you can't follow Jesus without cultivating deep wells of joy and knowing that his face shines out over you. To rest in that, to know that, to receive it, because you're wired up for that. To know the joy of the Father's face shining over you. That's the blessing that the priests are singing out over the people each and every day. And then the next line, the Lord turn his face towards you, right? More face language. God's face looking over you, watching over you. He's not turning his back on you. He's not ignoring you. He's looking right at you in love and joy. And sometimes we're doing stupid stuff and we need correction and redirection, but the Father's word is always yes to you. He wants to pour out blessing to you and give you his peace. That beautiful word shalom. We love that word around here. It's just fruitfulness, flourishing, everything well-rounded, 360 flourishing. God wants to give you peace. And then the Lord says, hey, in this way, the priests, even though they're bumbling and they make their own mistakes, normal people, they're going to make their mistakes, but in this way, the priests will put my name on the Israelites, God's witness, God's proximity on the people, and I will bless them. The priests are representing God to the people, and so they lead with blessing because God can't wait to bless his people. Now, later in the New Testament, you got one of Jesus' best friends, Peter. And Peter loved the priests and loved the Old Testament and loved the law. And he's writing to a church. And this church is full of all brand new Christians, right? All these people are brand new Christians. And what he says to them is that this beautiful thing about that the priest's job was to do is now available and now a part of the job of everyone who's a Christian. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says this, y'all, all you people are a chosen people and a royal priesthood. That is, the same job that priests had to represent kind of people to God and God to people, now all of us are given that opportunity. All of us are invited into that space. And so Peter says, I really, really, really want you to be serious about this blessing thing. In fact, he's so serious about it in 1 Peter 2. A few chapters later, Peter says this kind of ridiculous thing. A little later on in the chapter, in the book, he says this. In fact, I don't want you to repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, I want you to do this crazy thing. Repay evil with what? Blessing. You were a little quiet on that. I'm not sure you're excited about that. They repay evil with what?
Blessing.
Wow, that was much better. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, here's the thing. What I want to do is write Peter off. He doesn't know what he's talking about, or it's crazy, or he doesn't know what I've been through, or whatever. Like, Peter is facing persecution. He's writing to people who are being arrested and tortured for being Christians. So it's not like Peter doesn't know suffering. Not like Peter doesn't know evil, or people, like, visiting evil upon people he loves. We're to repay evil with blessing, God's yes to them, perfectly fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And that can be really, really hard if someone has rained down evil on you, right? That's really, really hard. I mean, I hear stories all the time. One person told me a story. One of you told me a story this a couple years ago. You had a business deal with another business owner, another small business owner, and the deal was going to be worth a lot of money, a couple $100,000. And somewhere along the way in the business deal, the person he was working with turned his back on him, stole him, and took a job that cost him several $100,000. That's cursing you. It'd be really easy to curse back, wouldn't it? Others of you have told me stories about your family of origin. Someone that was supposed to love you, should have loved you, was positioned to love you, care for you, did not love you, cursed you instead of blessed you. And you are spending hundreds of hours of therapy to recover from what you've been through. And it's so easy when someone has cursed you that bad, especially when you're a kid and you're vulnerable, when someone cursed you with how they parented you rather than blessed you, wow, it's so easy to return that curse with cursing, right? But here's the problem. When someone has cursed you with their authority, their position, rather than blessed you, what they've done is they've surrendered their authority, their position that God gave them to bless you with life and light and truth and wisdom and love. What they've done is they've surrendered that power to the powers of darkness. Whenever someone curses you, that means that they have surrendered their agency from the spirit of light to the spirit of darkness. And the spirits of darkness, as we said earlier, only want to steal, kill, and destroy. So here's the thing. If you do the same thing, if you draw on spiritual darkness to try to heap on what's already dysfunctional, all you've done is make a bad situation worse. Because you're trying to use spirits of darkness for good. And I got something to tell you. The spirits of darkness do not want good for you. They do not want to bless you. The spirits of darkness only want to use you, never bless you. And so when you tap into anger, rage, revenge, feel so strong for a very short period of time. But you know what the fruit of that is? You know what that wreaks on your life and the world around you? All it does is wreak havoc, introduce more chaos, more pain, more dysfunction into the world. So as we say around here every so often, do not complicate a hard situation. You've been hurt with a bad decision, returning sir with curses. Do not complicate a hard situation. Someone's hurt you, does something terrible to you. Someone has, like, stacked the deck against you. They're out to get you. In whatever way, shape, or form, we're not denying that's broken, that's hard, that's terrible. You trying to draw on darkness just piles on more and more dysfunction into an already dysfunctional situation. Do not complicate a hard situation with a bad decision. Do not draw on the spirits of darkness to try to further your agenda, because the spirits of darkness will not serve you and will not help you. They'll only use you. Here's what I want to invite you to do instead, because we're called to be blessing. We're called to be blessing. We're called to be people of blessing. We're called to be agents of blessing, instruments of blessing. Here's what I want to invite you to do instead, because you are the most like God when you're blessing people, and you're the least like God, and the least like the person God created you to be when you're cursing people. Here's what I want to invite you to do instead. I want to give you four things to do. Very simple, but very hard at the same time. I'm going to give you four things to change the atmosphere, to draw on the spirits of light, life, truth, wisdom, and all of God's power, rather than drawing on spirits of darkness, revenge, anger, resentment. Four things. Forgive, bless, release, wisdom. Would you read that with me? Forgive, bless, release, wisdom. Four steps that intentionally hook you into God's power rather than your own flesh or spiritual darkness. I'm going to give you a very simple prayer. You can pray each step along the way, but you might have to go through this 100 times before you can get there, 1,000 times before you get there, 1,000,000 times before you can get there. But every time you choose to forgive, bless, release, ask for wisdom, you are intentionally tapping into God's power and his grace and his mercy. The light has overcome the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. You would rather draw on the resilient power of the resurrected Jesus than draw on the power that Jesus conquered at the grave. Here's how you do it. It starts with forgiveness. This is really hard, but for some of us, we've got some hard stuff. Forgive. That is just, Lord Jesus, I surrender to and agree with your forgiveness of blank. Again, very simple, very hard for some of us. Here's what's true. Jesus on the cross has already taken away the sin of the entire world, including all your sin. Nothing you've done wrong that can like forfeit or override what Christ has done for you on the cross. So that's really good news, right? God forgives all the sin of all the people for all time. Everyone stands forgiven at the cross. Now, we have to receive that. We have to accept that. But the good news is Jesus has already forgiven every sin, including all the sins against you. That's really hard for some of us. So here's the good news. Some of you feel like, I can't quite forgive. Here's the good news. You don't have to generate forgiveness. You just surrender to it. You don't bake the forgiveness pizza. You just deliver the forgiveness pizza. It's already been baked. Jesus already done the hard stuff. It's already done. Christ's forgiveness on the cross. Everyone who's ever sinned against you, Jesus has already forgiven them. And so all you do, and some of us is all we can do, right? We can't quite get there. We're like, yay, I forgive them. It's like, okay, Jesus, you've forgiven them. Here's my first step. I agree. I surrender. You've forgiven them. I want to tap into that power. Because if you don't tap into that power, you know what you get to become? A resentful, bitter person. Who wants that? I'll tell you what, nobody around you wants you to be that. You tap into God's forgiveness. For some of you, it's going to be a turning point for the rest of your life. That's hard work. It's good work. Could be the best gift you give yourself and everyone else in 2025 and for the rest of your life, right? So we start with tapping into the good news. Jesus has already forgiven all my sin, already forgiven all their sin. I might not like it so much, but I am willing to surrender and agree with your forgiveness of this person, right? So we're forgiving. That's the first step. Next, we're going to bless them. I just pray your yes over this person. I pray your yes over this person who hurt me and sinned against me. Now, remember, here's the good news. Sometimes God's no serves a larger yes. Hooray, amen. Like, sometimes God's going to say no to their lying, no to their cheating, no to their stealing, no to their gossiping, no to their slandering of other people or of you, right? But here's the deal. You are hands off when it comes to God's yes, right? You're not going to manipulate and manufacture outcomes. At that point, you're just like, I just pray your yes over them. However you want to pour out your yes over them, and I got some ideas for what I want you to do to them. I got some thoughts about some no's you can say to them right now. But I pray your yes over them, including maybe a really strong no that serves that yes. That would be fantastic. I'd love that. Other people might love that too. But I bless them. I pray your yes over them. And then, man, release. I release them into your hands. That means I'm not rehearsing all the wrongs against me. I'm not reciting how wrong they are and how right I am. I am no longer in my head over and over and over again, sort of living out and getting all angry and upset and all wrapped around the axe around it all over again. I'm just releasing this whole bundle. Here's the thing. When someone rains evil on you, it's toxic for your soul. Do you want to hold on to that toxicity? You want to get rid of it? I mean, you can rehearse it all you want. You can relive it all you want. It's not going to serve you. It's not going to bless you. It's not going to bear good fruit in your life. So you can either spend the rest of your days rehearsing and reciting all the things that they did wrong to you and how right you are, or you can give that whole mess up and be open to the spirit of light, life, freedom. I release them into your hands. And then the last prayer is wisdom. God, show me how to live in line with your blessing. God, show me, teach me wisdom, right? Because if you're in a relationship with someone who has rained evil upon you, you might need to put really firm boundaries around them, right? You might forgive, you might bless, you might release, you might have to call the police. You might still need to tell the boss or the teacher or the principal. You might still need to put a lot of distance between you and this toxic, unhealthy person, right? So there are decisions you need to make on the other side of forgive, bless, release, wisdom. Show me how to live wisely in light of the fact that this person has done evil to me, has cursed me in some way. I don't want to be trapped in that anymore, but I also got to figure out how to live with this person, this family member, this coworker, this colleague, this client, this boss. God, give me wisdom to show how to live out of this reality. forgive, bless, release, wisdom. You do those four things, you are changing the atmosphere in your own heart, in that relationship, at that workplace, in your family, your school, your neighborhood. Because every time someone rains curses or evil upon you, they are bringing spiritual energy that is dark and death and not from the kingdom of light. And so in this way, this is where we're going to close. Here's the good news. Blessing is spiritual warfare. Because we are swimming in a world full of curses and cursing. We're swimming in a world where people are surrendering themselves to darkness, greed, aggression, selfishness, ambition, whatever their appetites are, right? We're swimming in that world, in a dark world. Every time you bring blessing to a place, you're pushing back darkness and bringing more of God's light to change the atmosphere. And so my prayer, my hope, my friends, is that you and I and Chatham Community Church, my hope for Chatham Community Church is that we would be a funnel of blessing to Chatham County. Just a funnel of it. Just pouring out God's yes over every man, woman, child across Chatham County. Bringing all of God's power, all God's grace, all God's mercy to bear. To release people from bondage to darkness, sin, anger, resentment, bitterness, apathy, ambition. To bring them into lives of faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage. And my prayer for you and me is that we might be instruments, little instruments, wherever you are, wherever God has you, to be a conduit of amazing grace, beautiful, wonderful forgiveness, favor, and especially God's enormous love. Today's wildly important take-home, just a few highlights from the things we talked about today. One, I want to invite you to change the dysfunctional atmosphere through blessing. That's the big idea, right? It's the big idea today, that you're invited, wherever God has you someplace, to change the dysfunctional atmosphere through blessing. I want to invite you to kind of press into that space as best you possibly can. Second, we are the most like the God who created us and the most like the you God created you to be when we're blessing others. And we are the least like the God who created us and the least like who God created you to be when you're cursing others. That's just like a function of like biblical reality, right? You're made in God's image to pour out blessing through you, right? That blessing might look a couple of different ways. One, blessing could look like prayers that they may or may not ever hear, or words that they can hear, receive, rejoice in. That's all true, right? We lead with these words of prayer, of blessing and grace and mercy and truth, and we speak that over, but also we have to follow that by actions, actually integrating our lives and aligning our lives around that blessing, right? Actually, that's mowing the lawn, baking the cake. It's making a financial contribution. It's coming alongside people. And sometimes it includes the no that serves the larger yes, putting a boundary around some sin or brokenness that darkness might not push over your family or your workplace or your classroom or your team anymore. You're pushing back darkness from a bully or for someone who's surrendered their power of influence over to darkness to say, no. We're not letting darkness reign here. This is a place where light reigns. Next, do not complicate a hard situation. Someone cursed you. Someone's releasing toxic, like, spiritual atmosphere, spiritual sort of energy and power to the atmosphere with a bad decision to curse back. Do not do that. Instead, repay evil with blessing and change the atmosphere. Forgive, bless, release, wisdom. Here's the deal, my friends. Someone's going to hurt you this year. The only thing I know, 2025, someone's going to do something bad to you. No surprise, right? No shocker. Someone's going to do something bad to you in 2025. What I want you to do is to hear the word of the Lord, to not repay evil with evil, but to forgive, to bless, to release, pray for wisdom, to navigate these challenges as faithfully as you possibly can. My friends, here's the deal. God positioned you somewhere to change the atmosphere. Who? Where? What form of blessing? How has God positioned you? Where has God positioned you to change the atmosphere? I want to encourage you to start at home. Start with your marriage or your kids or your grandkids. Start local. Start as close as you can. And then be open to, man, how does God want me to change the atmosphere of my workplace or my school, my classmates, my neighborhood as I'm driving through, like I said, praying over homes. Where has God positioned you to change the atmosphere through blessing? Because you are the most like the God who created you, and you're the most like the person God created you to be when you are an instrument of blessing to those around you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that your first word over us is blessing and yes. And I pray for my friends who are here who struggle to believe that that's true because they're going through hard stuff. And all the realities that they're swimming in feel like curses, challenges, setbacks. My prayer is that you would give us ears to hear you singing over us with hope and love and blessing. And then, Holy Spirit, would you open us up to be conduits, channels, of all that amazing grace, all that love poured through us. Lord Jesus, would you help us to forgive, bless, release? I pray for wisdom. Some of my friends are here today. They have a conflict. They've got a situation, a relationship where things are not healthy, not right. They're really upset, really angry, and rightfully so. But Lord Jesus, I pray you would free us. Free us, free us, free us from repaying evil with evil and curses with curses. Free us to change the atmosphere through blessing. We pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to do this really good work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.